Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.
All right, here we go. It is That Betting Show on 610 Sports Radio. We're here for the next hour talking all things betting, getting set for one of the best weekends of the year, divisional round weekend in the NFL. We will get a full breakdown of all four games. John Lanfranca of the Action Network. We've had him on a couple times throughout this football season. He's going to join me as we'll both go through the divisional round slate. That's coming up in about 15 minutes or so. I want to get his perspective, obviously, on the Chiefs and the Jags game, but also want to make sure we focus in on Buffalo and Cincinnati, what I think is going to be a great game between Dallas and San Francisco, and then, of course, the Philadelphia Eagles hosting the New York Giants, one of the surprises from this past weekend. They were underdogs against Minnesota. A lot of people thought the Giants had a chance to win that game, but still, they were an underdog. They got the victory. The Jags, of course, an underdog against the Chargers last weekend, ended up getting the victory. We ended up just 3-3 against the spread last week, so just a 500 week for us on our official Goldilocks picks. But if you did listen and went ahead and put money on the Jags money line as well, then you came out ahead last week. And I got Julio Sanchez producing the show. As always, you can hit us up on the text line, 913-586-7610. You can also interact on Twitter, at Alex Gold, at 610 Sports KC. A lot to get to. Of course, yes, divisional round weekend, as I mentioned. I also, here in about 6 minutes or so, want to get into something that's going on in the state of Ohio. And you're like, why are we worried about the state of Ohio? Well, it's something that could impact sports betting in Kansas, and then maybe one day in Missouri, whenever Missouri gets it legalized, which, of course, over the next couple months will be something I'll be tracking as the state of Missouri looks to potentially legalize sports wagering. But there's a story out of Ohio in college athletes and betting. And I think it's interesting, and it could lay the groundwork for what could happen across the entire country. I'll explain what that is. I thought it was a really interesting development over the last week or so, and some comments from some college basketball coaches. But let's get things started off with the Chiefs and the Jags. An early look at this game, and then I'll have we'll get into it during Goldilocks. But the Chiefs are 8.5-point favorites against the Jags. The total for the game is sitting at 52.5 points. And depending on where you're at, if you look, you can still find, you see some nines out there. 9.5 is where this opened up at some spots as well. And depending on which side you like, obviously the 9 or 8.5 is a big difference for you. If you're someone that's thinking about backing the Jags, obviously you want to find the 9, or you want to look to see if you believe you can wait towards kickoff and it goes back up. If you're someone that is already leaning towards backing the Chiefs and it's at 8.5, and I'm telling you there's still 9s on the board, you probably want to grab that 8.5 while you can at this point in time. It depends on where you're at. For me, how I'm going to attack this game in one area, I think it's interesting to look at the first half betting. So you can go and look at first half spread, for example. And there's two different numbers that are out there. At FanDuel, for example, the Chiefs are -5.5 for the first half. So can they be up 6 points or more at halftime? Some other spots have it at six flat, which means, of course, a push at six. You need them to be up by seven in order for you to win. So big difference between the 5.5 and the 6 points. I like the first half as an angle to target in this game. I understand there's been times this year where maybe the Chiefs hadn't got off to a fast start themselves, and then there's been betting opportunities in games, right, where you were able to make some money, specifically that Raiders game where the Chiefs were down early. They were plus money, and we talked about that on this show, how it was a great opportunity to make some money. The Jags are not a good first-half team point differential-wise. Look at this. So the Jags are minus 11, and this does not include last week's playoff game for somebody that might already be thinking, well, yeah, obviously the second half stuff is skewed. They came back. They were down 27-0. They were down 27-7 at halftime. The Jags are minus 11 point differential in the first half. They were plus 65 in the second half. So quite a bit difference between first half and second half. So I really like the first half bet for Kansas City in this game. First half minus 5.5. If you get it at six, I'm not quite a fan of it as much, because I think Kansas City can be up six at halftime. And then the question from there will be, as we saw, can you put the Jags away? Can you make sure that they don't even have the opportunity to think they still have a shot in this game? So that's one area where I'm going to be looking from a betting end. One trend just to point out from the folks over at Bet Labs. Since 2003, teams that have become smaller underdogs in the playoffs. And you're saying, well, what is that? So, for example, as I mentioned, the Jags opened up at 9.5-point underdogs last Sunday night. It's now down to 8.5. So, smaller underdogs, right? Since 03, when that has happened, those teams have gone 44-18-2 against the spread. That's 71% of the time they've covered. So, if you're a trend better, the Jags fit this trend. 71% of the time when what happened with the line movement happens, that team ends up covering. If you were already thinking about Jacksonville covering, that's obviously a trend you're going to put in your back pocket and say, all right, this is more motivation for me potentially to make that bet. I like the Chiefs in the first half, minus 6 or 5.5. But I do like Jacksonville. If you can find it at 9 or 9.5, I do like Jacksonville to cover the 9 or 9.5 in this game. It's a playoff game. It's very difficult to win by double digits in the postseason. We just saw how things played out this past weekend. Look, Kansas City's going to win this football game. I think the only question is whether they cover. And I think that's why you attack the first half. Kansas City up early. Maybe Jacksonville gets a backdoor cover late in the game. I could see the Chiefs even up 13 points or so at some point in the second half. But you open the back door a little bit for Jacksonville. And so that's why, in particular, I like the first half bet more than an overall game bet. We know these teams played each other earlier this season in Week 10. The Jags, at that point, fell to 3-7. Much different team since then, at least confidence-wise. I think that's the advantage for Jacksonville. I don't think they have a clear advantage in this game other than they got no pressure whatsoever. Nobody's expecting them to come into Arrowhead and win on Saturday afternoon. They also have all kinds of confidence. You're down 27-0 and you come back and beat the LA Chargers. They got all kinds of confidence. The Chiefs could be up by that 13 points that I'm mentioning, and it's not like the Jags are going to panic. Of course, it's a different feeling being down to Patrick Mahomes by 13 than Justin Herbert and Brandon Staley and some of the coaching issues that we saw come up in the second half of that football game. But I do think if you're looking truly at these two teams, I mean, Kansas City has the edge in just about every single area. And for me, there's some prop bets that you can attack for this game as well. We'll get to that during our same game parlay for the weekend, because it's a Jags team, guys, that does not fare well against tight ends. And look, they're going up against the best tight end in football and a future Hall of Famer in Travis Kelce. So they're dead last in DVOA against opposing tight ends. We're going to use that part of our same game parlay a little bit later on the show. How about Jerick McKinnon? Well, the Jags, they give the fourth most explosive plays to opposing running backs on screen plays. So we're going to use that to build our same game parlay a little bit later on in the weekend for our same game parlay with Jerick McKinnon. So that's coming up in just a little bit. But just a quick note on the Jags game before we get a full breakdown for the entire divisional round weekend with John Lanfranca of the Action Network coming up in about 8 minutes or so. I had someone ask me earlier about the total for the game. So this one's going to be interesting to watch. It's 52.5. 52.5 is the total for the Chiefs and Jags. And now you're starting to see there's some weather maybe going to be in the area out at Arrowhead. We don't have a clear indication yet of just how much, but the last check, I was just talking to somebody actually in our newsroom from over on the KMBZ side, and there's a chance at kickoff you could start to have some snow. Now, nobody's predicting a blizzard or anything like that, but how does that impact the game? And what I've mentioned multiple times throughout this entire football season when it comes to totals, typically it's not the snow and the rain that impacts the number when we're betting totals. It's whether or not it's going to be really windy and that impacts passing the football. Right now, it's only showing like 7 mile per hour wind, and it's going to be cold and it's going to be maybe a chance of some snow during the game. If that changes, I think you'll see the total drop a little bit. If all of a sudden it's going to be windy and it's going to be a mess out there, yeah, that total might drop. Right now, it's not. I don't think the weather, for me personally, is going to impact the total for the game. Like, I keep throwing scores in my mind of what I think this game is going to be and how you get to 52.5, 53 points in a division round playoff game might seem high. But the Jags, over their last four games, you take a look, including the postseason, they're a 30-plus point per game team over the last couple weeks. We know what the Chiefs are capable of offensively. It's the best offense in football. But look at what Jacksonville's done even offensively over the last couple weeks. Obviously, last week against the Chargers, they had to score 31 points to get the win, 31-30. The one game that they weren't able to do that, prior to that, was against Tennessee, 20 points. They scored 31 prior to that, then 19, and then 40, and then 36. So this team's capable of putting up points. Now, it's against the Texans and the Titans and the Cowboys defense at that point in time. But that's why I still look at the total for the game, and I think both these offenses guys are going to be able to move the football a little bit to where I'm confident in rolling with the over 52.5 points for this game. We'll get a full betting breakdown, as I mentioned, coming up in about 6 or 7 minutes now. But I want to turn our attention to Ohio for a second. And I know typically we don't ever talk about another state in terms of sports betting and how that relates to Kansas or the Kansas City area or Missouri, who might get sports wagering. But there was an interesting story coming out of there that I think could go nationwide and impact the state here. And that is that regulators there suggest that Ohio could ban bettors who harass college athletes. So this is a story that has been a problem, and I don't think anybody is probably surprised to hear that, unfortunately, whether it was fantasy football players for many, many years sending tweets and hateful tweets towards athletes, sliding into DMs of athletes and threatening them because they lost their damn fantasy football team. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous, right? Well, it's happening to college athletes in Ohio, and I'm sure it's happening to college athletes across the country as well. So the Ohio Casino Control Commission said they're concerned about Ohio bettors harassing collegiate athletes over their performances, and they're saying they could move to ban individuals from Ohio betting markets in the future. It's not something that's guaranteed to happen, but in their bill that passed in Ohio, the state does have authority to put harassers on an exclusion list from all gambling in the state, and they said the commission could look into using that power. This comes after the Dayton Flyers, their basketball program, they lost to VCU back on January 13th, last Friday. 63-62. And then the team defeated Davidson 68-61. And actually, Dayton's having a good year, right? They're first place in the Atlantic 10. But after the game, their head coach, Anthony Grant, began his post-game press conference. He defended his players from attacks from people who have what he's saying is their own agenda. He didn't specifically mention sports betting, but he said, quote, "There's some laws that have recently been enacted that really, to me, it could really change the landscape of what college sports is all about. And when we have people that make it about themselves and attack kids because of their own agenda, it sickens me." And he went on to thank a lot of fans. But I think this is not going to go away as sports betting continues to get legalized, right? It's, to me, not unique to sports betting, though. I mentioned fantasy sports as well. I have no problem with this, the notion that, hey, look, if you're gonna harass especially collegiate athletes, it's bad enough doing it to professional athletes, but a 19-year-old kid that's playing college basketball or college football, you're gonna send him hateful tweets because you lost your bet. I want you. You're not mature might be the right word. You shouldn't be betting then. I have no problem if you want to tell me that states are considering doing something like this, Julio. We've all lost a bad bet because someone missed a shot or whatever. Like, we've all been there if you've bet on sports. It happens. That's the risk you have when you bet on sports, especially, again, 19, 20-year-old kids. I do think it is ridiculous if you're going to be attacking a student athlete because you lost your bet. And there should be some punishment. It shouldn't just be open rein to go and harass people.
I mean, I like that law in theory. I like it.
Yeah.
But where do you draw the line? Because is a mean tweet, is that really harassing somebody? You know, versus
to me, threatening. Like if you just say, hey, like if it's in a threatening manner, then that would qualify to me for I would be okay with them considering excluding people from betting. And we're talking about just the collegiate sports here. Now, like, if someone just says, like, you suck, if that's what you're saying, like, obviously, whatever. Like, I mean, it is what it is, I guess. Is that what you're saying? Like, where do you draw the line?
Yeah, this is a fine line.
Yeah, I mean, I think if it's threatening, like, if it is threatening harm towards an individual, right? You know, we had Michael Irvin on our show earlier today, and this is talking about a professional athlete. I understand that. But, of course, Brett Maher missed 4 extra points, right? Believe me, I had money on the Cowboys. Barber knows that. Him and I made a nice little wager, perhaps. But I had money on that, and I was upset with the kicker as well. Now, it's a professional athlete, and I tweet out, like, make the damn kick. I don't tag the guy. I don't send him a DM. Michael Irvin said somebody slid into Maher's DMs and said, hey, if you miss another kick in the postseason, you know, I'm going to shove this foot up your you-know-what and all this. Like, that kind of stuff is where it's different.
I don't even know if that's... I mean, unless he's threatening his life. I mean, threatening to put your foot up someone's butt is different than...
But that's a professional athlete. If you do that to a college kid, though, I think that's where it's a different level for me. A professional athlete, it's probably different.
It is different.
A 19-year-old kid, if you're saying, like, hey, man, I'm gonna beat your ass if you miss another free throw, like, yeah, that to me is grounds for what they're potentially considering doing in Ohio. That's the difference for me. So it's just something to watch. We'll see if anything comes from it. And obviously a warning kind of shot fired there by the regulators in Ohio. And I'll just tell you this, like if Ohio did it, they would not be the only state. You know what I mean? Like that's why it's one to watch. If Ohio's willing to consider it, other states I think would be willing to consider it as well. All right, coming up next, we get right back into actually betting on the games this weekend. Divisional round playoffs, John Lanfranca of the Action Network joins me as we break down all 4 games this weekend.
That betting show with Alex Gold, Thursday starting at 7 p.m. on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
All right, back here on That Betting Show. Thanks for hanging out with us till 8 o'clock right here on 610 Sports Radio. We'll get to the futures market, back to the futures, coming up in about 15 minutes or so, and also the same game parlay of the weekend. This weekend, it is a 10-1 parlay, and it is all focused in on the Chiefs. Mentioned a couple of the receivers for the Chiefs that I like to attack this weekend, and of course, we'll wrap things up with the Goldilocks for the weekend, but let's run through all of these divisional playoff games, and excited to welcome in John Lanfranca of the Action Network once again to help me out with that. John, great to have you on the show, man. It is one of those better weekends of the year, to say the least.
Yeah, absolutely. Some of the best football being played, and thanks as always for having me on, Alex.
Yeah, so I opened the show talking a little bit about the Jags and Chiefs. Let's start there again. There's some 9 still out on the board, but it's pretty much 8.5 right now in favor of the Chiefs and the total at 52.5 points. Just what's your first reaction, looking at that board and seeing the Chiefs as 8.5 point favorites?
You know, at first you see the Jags come back and win a game. You see the way Trevor Lawrence played in the second half, and you're like, man, I'm going to be taking these points, but that's... You know, that's the recency bias built in. As I dug deeper and thought about the game, you know, Jags 26th in DVOA since we played them in Week 10. And I really feel like this is a 34-38 point explosion by the Chiefs offense. So I'm feeling pretty good right now laying the points to the Chiefs, as crazy as it sounds.
Yeah, I was mentioning, you know, I think – to me, the first half might be an angle to attack just based off of what the Jags have been as a first half team compared to a second half team. And I'm not even just talking about last week, obviously, where they had the comeback. But I think some of the logic for a lot of people on the -8.5 is that, look, the Jaguars last go around lost by 10 and the Chiefs had 3 turnovers, right? Like the Chiefs were -3 in the turnover margin and they still beat a team by double digits. Like the first time that's happened since 2018.
Yeah, and we can look at trends both ways, and I do like the first half trend based on the way the Jags have played. But again, like, here's a trend. One seeds over the last 20 years, 8-24, 25% against, if they're fewer than 10-point favorites. So Chiefs are right in there. And you know, the Chiefs' total QBR season, 95.3 QBR. That's 27th in the league. There's no team remaining in the playoffs in the bottom 14, you know, besides the Chiefs. So, I mean, those things can scare you. And then I looked at it and I said, well, let's look at the Jags defense. They play the Titans twice, Texans and Jets. They give up per game in those games since we played in Week 10. But the Chiefs, Chargers, Cowboys, Lions, and Ravens with Lamar Jackson, they gave up 31.6 points per game. So I really do feel like Jacksonville's going to have to not turn the football over if they're going to hang around in this game at all.
Yeah, I think, I mean, look, the Chiefs are just flat out a better football team. And if the Chiefs don't have the turnover mistakes that they had the last go around, I just find it very difficult for Jacksonville. And not even difficult. The Jags won't win this football game unless the Chiefs have a Colts-like performance with special teams blunders and turnovers. I just don't think it's really possible at that point for Jacksonville. The total 52.5, though, John, I mean, the weather, there's a chance, could come into play here a little bit, but it's not supposed to be windy or anything like that. There's just maybe a little bit of snow during the game. It's going to be cold. What does the total look like for you? Because I lean over.
I lean over as well. I'm actually kind of mad at myself that I didn't bet it when it opened 51.5. And I'm actually, the weather can get some action on the under so they can drop it back down to the 51-ish territory, 51, kind of one of the key numbers in totals. Not he has like 3, 4, 7 on the side, but you know, there are some key numbers there in totals. So if you want to, I'm definitely going to be playing the over.
We're talking to John Lanfranca of the Action Network, taking a look at betting this divisional round weekend. Before we move on to the next game, prop bet-wise, is there any area you kind of like? I'm going to give some out a little bit later on. I certainly think Travis Kelce finally gets in the end zone. It's been since week 13. He's minus money, of course, to do so, but it's been a little bit since he finds the end zone.
Yeah, actually, I did lay in parlay today an alternate total. I think I dropped it down to like 47-ish or McKinnon receiving yards over and the Chiefs to cover, you know, you get, I think I used a boost at points bet to get it around 10-1. Just feels like such a good value. I also obviously took the old reliable Mahomes rushing yards over in the playoffs. Don't know the hit rate with that one, but it feels really high.
Yeah, no, it's worked out really well. We're going to try to reconnect with John. We're breaking up a little bit, John, so let's try to reconnect with him, and we'll bring him back on for the other games. John Lanfranca of the Action Network. I'm sure we'll get him reconnected here in just a little bit. The prop bets, and he's talking about the rushing total in particular. Let me take a look at where the number is at for Patrick Mahomes rushing, and we all know he's had, I mean, one of his most iconic plays, I guess, in the postseason, of course, involved him running the football going back to the Super Bowl year against the Tennessee Titans, the epic run against Tennessee. The rushing yard total for Mahomes at FanDuel is sitting at 25.5. That's where the number is right now. You might want to look around and see if you can't find it at a different number as well. 25.5. Let's see how many times Mahomes has gone over that number so far this season. So he went over it against the Raiders. He had 29 yards rushing. He did it against Houston. And let's see, also against the Rams. So we've gone over, take a look here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 times this year as we welcome back in John. I was telling them, 25.5 is the rushing total. They got over, Mahomes gone over that 8 times this year.
Yeah, that's pretty good. And I think I saw the stat that he averaged around 29 to 30 yards per game, you know, rushing, in his career in playoff games. But, you know, we've seen it enough. Like, I've watched enough Chiefs football just to kind of know the feel of sure. Mahomes is more willing to run, you know, in bigger games.
All right, let's turn our attention to the other AFC game. This one's going to be, of course, on Sunday afternoon. The line movement here continues to go in Buffalo Bills' favor. The Bills up to 5.5-point favorites against Cincinnati, the total at 49.5. And I understand the offensive line injury there for Cincinnati, but I think that's too many points for Buffalo. I really like Cincinnati to cover the 5.5.
Yeah, this is my, I'll be writing this game up for Action Network, and I am totally with you on the Bengals. So I kind of dug into the offensive line woes, and Kappa, the guard, I think he has kind of a loss, but Jonah Williams has given up 13 sacks this year. That's the most in the NFL. And Lyle Collins, he actually ranks 79th of 82 qualifying tackles according to PFF pass block grade. So it may be a little bit overblown and overstated the impact of the offensive line. And Joe Burrow, he's only been averaging 6.9 air yards per throw since their bye in week 10. That's 27th in the league. Yet, I mean, they're ninth in pass offense DVOA. They're undefeated. They average about 27 points per game. So I think it's kind of, it's inflated the line, people being too concerned about these two offensive lines, especially the tackles.
Yeah, I thought it was too many points when it was at four, man, and it keeps going to 5.5. I don't think we're going to see a 6 before kickoff, are we? I'd be stunned if we can get this thing up to 6. I would love it as someone that's back in Cincinnati, would like to back Cincinnati in this game.
Yeah, so I'm going to bet the money line as well, but I also wrote up a look-ahead line last Monday, and I said, take the Bengals +4. They were 4 at the time. So then the next day they moved to 5 when I got it. And now I'm like, wow, we're really going to 5.5. But I'm gonna stick with 5. I think anything 4.5 is fine too. Unlikely the game lands right at 5. Probably will now that I said that. But 5 or better. And then obviously I like a little sprinkle on the money line as well.
All right, let's go to the NFCs. We're talking to John Lanfranca of the Action Network here on That Betting Show. Alex Gold, Julio Sanchez with you. The other Saturday game after Kansas City in Jacksonville, it's the NFC East showdown between the Giants and the Eagles. This one in Philly. We know the number one seed. We saw the Giants, of course, go and take down the 3-seed Vikings last week. Philly, 7.5-point favorites. The total, 48.5 points. Are you surprised by this one as well? Because is this just Philadelphia not knowing what Jalen Hurts for sure is going to look like after missing some time, even if we saw a glimpse of him in the final week of the regular season? Or is this fans looking at the Giants and looking at Brian Daboll and what he continues to do?
You know, I hate to kind of fall into the recency bias of taking the Giants and the points, but I do think over a touchdown is worth it, mainly because the Giants have changed the way they play defense. They were blitzing at a league-high rate. They blitzed the Eagles in Week 14. 46% of the time they played man coverage, which is it's a recipe for disaster. Versa team, you don't want to turn your back on Jalen Hurts. You get these Devontae Smith and AJ Brown in man coverage. But they've dropped since Week 15 through 18. They've only played man 20% of the time. Last week versus Minnesota, only 15% of the time. And what I think is going to happen is both these teams are going to run the ball more often, especially if the Giants are in a too high shell. And I think the Giants can run it versus Philly, which will shorten the game. I lean under the total here. And I think that kind of, you know, obviously if we like the under, we'd probably lean the dog. And that's kind of how I see the game playing out.
Looking at some of the prop bets for that game, you mentioned the run game. So I imagine you like Barkley and Miles Sanders in this game, or how are you attacking it from a prop perspective?
Yeah, I mean, I do like Barkley. It's odd because the touches, I mean, weren't there last week. I mean, mainly because Daniel Jones was running so much. I don't really feel too strongly about any of the props in this game. Like I said, it's more the total and the Giants as dogs, just like not that many possessions. So I don't want to go over, over on a lot of these props that could keep it under, that could, you know, less plays. We could see a team run like, you know, 50 to 55 plays. You know, that's obviously would hurt the chances of going over on some of these props.
Final game from divisional round weekend, Dallas, 3.5-point dogs on the road, taking on San Francisco. The total for the game sitting at 46.5 points. We all saw what Dallas did on Monday Night Football to the Bucks, and I thought I never understood the talk around Tampa. We talked about it last week. We had seen them play all year. I don't know why everybody suddenly thought that magically the Bucks were going to figure things out. Now, is Dallas getting still too much respect now at 3.5? Because for me, I like Dallas at +3.5 in this game. I'm waiting for that moment where Brock Purdy does turn into a pumpkin a little bit. Maybe you would argue it happened in the first half against Seattle. But he hasn't faced a defense at this level like Dallas at this point in time where they've got their full arsenal defensively.
Yeah, I mean, I was just, you know, watching that game with Dallas. You know, player to player, they have probably the most talent in the league on defense. And I know the 49ers, you can make the case, especially up front, the D-line. But, man, like, I know, and that's why I was worried about Dallas in the first round. Basically, league average since about week 13, where they were the second-best defense the first 12 weeks of the season for the Cowboys. The thing that reason I do lean Dallas in this game, the 49ers offense have only played 3 top 12 opponents in defensive DVA all season. The Broncos, they scored 11. Now, the Commanders, they did blow out, scored 37 versus them, and the Saints, they put up 13. So, I mean, 2 of the 3 hard, difficult defenses they went against, they were, you know, held to 13 or fewer points. And I you know, that gives me pause. And I probably will avoid the 49ers because of that. I do think this is the hardest game of the weekend to pick.
John Lanfranca of the Action Network. Always appreciate the insight, man. Enjoy a great divisional round weekend, and we'll catch up hopefully at some point before or after the Super Bowl.
Sounds good. Thanks as always for having me.
There you go. Good insight from John here on That Betting Show. Up next, I want to go back to the futures. We'll take a look at the Super Bowl odds, the AFC, NFC conference odds, and who could end up with the most passing yards this NFL postseason. That's next.
That Betting Show with Alex Gold. Thursdays starting at 7 p.m. on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Back to the futures.
I set him into the future.
All right, back here on That Betting Show, and it is time to go back to the futures. Last week, we took a look at the NFL market and the Big 12 market for conference odds. We can revisit that as well. We kind of told you potentially like how to approach that, and the Wildcats lost to TCU since then, but they also, of course, beat KU. So we can take a glimpse of that in a second if you want. But I want to start with the Super Bowl, of course. Updated odds now that we're down to the final eight teams. The Chiefs are your Super Bowl favorite still, 3-1 odds. The Buffalo Bills, plus 330. The Niners, despite being the 2 seed, plus 450, have better odds than the Philadelphia Eagles, who are 5-1. Cincinnati, they get Buffalo this weekend. We know Cincy hovering still around plus 750. They were plus 900 a week or so ago. The Cowboys, plus 850. And then two long shots out there, 25-1, the Giants, 33-1, the Jacksonville Jaguars. The Giants and Jags, it's the first time that two teams have been 101 or worse Super Bowl odds in the preseason to then make the divisional round since 1987. So it just tells you what those expectations were. That's why Brian Daboll and Doug Peterson should be getting all kinds of credit. I mean, their teams were not expected to go anywhere near the divisional round this season. One of them won their division in the Jags, and the other one, of course, were in the toughest division in football, and they found a way to make it to the divisional round and maybe put up a strong fight here against the Philadelphia Eagles. For me, at this point, if you probably already have your positions, you probably have your tickets already on who you thought would win the Super Bowl or think will win the Super Bowl. There's still maybe some value if you think suddenly a performance from this past weekend changed your feeling and confidence. You know where I'm at, not only on the Chiefs from earlier this season to win the Super Bowl. I'm still there, still have that position. The Cowboys. I have that ticket out there for the Chiefs and Cowboys to meet in the Super Bowl. Right now, the Cowboys are plus 850. We'll get to the Goldilocks at the end of the show, but I think the Cowboys can beat the 49ers. I certainly like the Cowboys to cover the 3.5 points. I think last week, Julio, we had someone texting in. And you're welcome to text in again, whoever you were, calling me an idiot for taking the Cowboys to cover and win against the Bucks. I'd love to hear from
Who's the idiot now?
I'd love to hear from you on this week's edition of that betting show. But the Cowboys, I think they can cover against the 49ers. I also think they can win that game. The Super Bowl MVP odds, Patrick Mahomes still remains the favorite, plus 350. Josh Allen, 4-1. Jalen Hurts, 7-1. Brock Purdy, plus 750. I think he's an interesting one. If you're someone that doesn't think they're going to lose to the Cowboys this weekend, Brock Purdy at plus 750 is really, really interesting. Understandably so, Patrick Mahomes remains the favorite at plus 350. What's kind of fun to look at and where I want to get everybody's thoughts on, and I certainly have some, is the prop market for the rest of the postseason. Most playoff passing yards. We all know there's going to be an uneven amount of games played for some teams. Some teams are going to play one game, some two. Maybe you play three, depending on how far you go. Do you get to the Super Bowl or not? And right now, the favorite for most playoff passing yards is Josh Allen, plus 175. Now, he already played a playoff game. We know he's getting at least two. He had 352 yards passing last week. So he's at 352. He's already got that in the bank, 352. Brock Purdy's 5-1 for most passing yards here in the postseason, to finish, I should say, with most passing yards in the postseason. And then Patrick Mahomes is plus 550. Well, Brock Purdy's sitting at 332 yards passing. Mahomes, of course, has none. He hasn't played a game yet. If you just go at typical Mahomes numbers, you can probably bank on about 320 yards passing this weekend against the Jags, at least. And then you're really playing a game of, all right, how many games is he getting? Like, I think most people believe the Bills are going to beat Cincinnati this weekend. So that means Josh Allen's getting three games at least. And of course, he gets the Super Bowl, it's game over. He'll win this because that's four games, and like he's going to be the winner at that most passing yards. For Patrick Mahomes to have the most passing yards in the postseason, he has to get to the Super Bowl. I mean, it's plain and simple. The math, I mean, yeah, Josh Allen, I guess, could lose to Cincinnati. So let's say Josh Allen gets another 300 yards and loses. So then he's still up over 300 yards on you. Then at that point, if he loses, you're playing Joe Burrow. So Joe Burrow would probably have 300 yards on you. Then you'd be in a spot where you would have to get to the Super Bowl, like I said, because you would need to beat Joe Burrow to stay within 300. And then you're asking yourself to maybe have 340 yards passing the Super Bowl. That's the kind of those are the kind of situations that you have to play out if you're going to bet on who's going to have the most passing yards. I don't. If you think the Chiefs are going to the Super Bowl, then Mahomes plus 550 to have the most playoff passing yards is still a really good bet.
What I got a sleeper for you.
Okay.
What about Brock Purdy?
So I like Brock Purdy on the, as I said, as the outlier for Super Bowl MVP if you think they get there. I don't. I think the Niners lose this weekend. Brock Purdy at 5-1. I mean, he's very close to what Josh Allen did yardage. But again, I still think even in that scenario, it would take Josh Allen not making the Super Bowl and Brock Purdy making it. Because again, those two guys just have a those two guys have a game up on everybody. Brock Purdy, the way they play offensively and running the ball, it seems unlikely, even if we got a Niners-Bills Super Bowl, doesn't it, that he would finish with more yards than Josh Allen? Like, to me, he needs Josh Allen out of the equation. I feel like
100%
for that to be real. At 5-1, very similar odds to Patrick Mahomes. And he already has a game up on you, and Mahomes is still sitting at plus 550. Longer shot ones out there, Joe Burrow 8-1. If they pull off the upset against Buffalo, that becomes in play. That becomes decent value. And I have no interest, of course, on anything for Daniel Jones at 14-1 or Trevor Lawrence at 20-1. Real quick, just another futures bet to keep an eye on. I mentioned I wanted to go back to college basketball a little bit because we did it last week. Let me see if I can still pull it up. I don't know if there's any Big 12 games tonight. Usually it's a Thursday. We shouldn't have any. So I should still be able to pull up outright odds for the Big 12. Yes, I can. Here we go. Over at FanDuel. So the latest, KU, minus 150 to win the Big 12. This is regular season. Texas 6-1, Iowa State 6-1, K-State plus 650, TCU 15-1. I believe last week when we were doing this, K-State was like 9-1. And we talked about, hey, look, if you think K-State can beat KU, then you should bet on K-State last week, value-wise. I didn't think they were going to lose to TCU in between there, unfortunately, for K-State fans. But they beat KU, and so now, if you have that 9-1 ticket, you've got better value than what you had before. And now that K-State beat KU, K-State's going to be in the mix. They're going to be in the mix to win the Big 12. I still think Kansas is in a great spot. If KU would have beat K-State, then KU, to me, would have pretty much guaranteed themselves at least a share of the Big 12. They would have moved to minus 260, minus 250. But right now, I still don't hate the bet for either Kansas, Texas, Iowa State, Kansas. Like, those are the four. Like, you can still get, even at KU at minus 150, I don't think it's terrible value to win the Big 12. That's a look at the futures market here on That Betting Show. Goldilocks coming up in about 6 minutes or so, but I do want to turn our attention to the same game parlay of the weekend. I mentioned early in the show, we're going to attack the Chiefs and Jags game. Same game parlay of the weekend. It's 10-1. So this comes out to about plus 1,013. 10-1 odds here. We built this a little bit earlier on today. Travis Kelce, 60-plus receiving yards, the first leg of the same game parlay. The Jags are dead last in DVOA against opposing tight ends. Travis Kelce, playoff time, 60-plus receiving yards is all you're asking for. That's an alternate total as well. It's not even where the number's actually set. 60-plus yards receiving for Travis Kelce. We'll double it up with Kelce anytime touchdown. 12 touchdowns on the year, but as I talked about with John, hasn't had one since week 13. Typically, when you're betting, the idea of like, well, he's due is a terrible strategy. Like, don't just say, but he's due, Julio. It's the playoffs. That guy is 12 on the year. How many more weeks is he going to go without a touchdown? How many more weeks is he going to go? So I'm going Kelce anytime touchdown as the second leg. I mentioned how bad the Jags are against opposing tight ends. So we'll go Kelce the first two legs. Then let's go Jerick McKinnon for leg number three to have 25 or more receiving yards. The Jags, they've given up the fourth most explosive plays to opposing running backs on screen passes. We've all seen what Jerick McKinnon's been doing. Not only is he a touchdown machine, but he's good for a little 15-yard reception every game. We're asking for 25 receiving yards from Jerick McKinnon for our third leg. The final leg, leg four of the 10-1 same game parlay here on That Betting Show, a anytime touchdown for Kadarius Toney. Kadarius Toney, no Mecole Hardman, Julio. He's out. He's been officially ruled out. Kadarius Toney. What's good about him, you don't need four or five receptions because he's going to get the ball in the red zone. And if he gets the ball on a touch pass or a bubble screen, he's so damn shifty. He can be at the four-yard line and make three guys miss and get you your 4 yards and get your touchdown. So those are the four legs. The longest odds of that entire one is the Kadarius Toney touchdown. But not much. I think he's like plus 220 or something by himself.
Could we throw a Chris Jones sack in there, maybe?
I mean, you can. It's not, yeah, absolutely, if you would like. I can tell you what the odds of Chris Jones getting a sack. His first playoff sack. Remember, that's been the frustrating thing. Career year for Chris Jones. Can he get a sack finally? For his sake, I hope he does, too. Like, one of those things got to be so damn annoying.
Right?
It just has to be so annoying. Let me see if I can find that. Defensive props. Chris Jones to record a sack. What's your guess? I have it right here. Oh, okay.
It's got to be low. I'm betting
it's,
right?
It's not plus money, but it's minus 112 either way on both two-way. So, yes, minus 112. No, minus 112. For the record, I'm not going to put it in the parlay, but I do think he gets his first playoff sack. Yes. I'm not going to put it in the parlay.
It's time, man.
I don't need to put it in the parlay. If you want, go right ahead. But, yeah, I do think Chris Jones gets his first playoff sack finally. Finally. That's our same game parlay of the weekend. Kelce, 60-plus receiving yards. Kelce, anytime touchdown. Jerick McKinnon, 25-plus receiving yards. And Kadarius Toney, anytime touchdown. Up next on That Betting Show, the Goldilocks for divisional round weekend.
That Betting Show with Alex Gold. Thursday starting at 7 p.m. on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
Ooh, just right.
It's time for Goldilocks.
This porridge is just right.
All right, let's get right into it. Remember, Goldilocks, these are against the spread and total only. We went 3-3 last week, so only 500. Now, if you followed along and went with the money line Jags pick, you ended up coming out ahead this past week. And same if you went money line with the Dallas Cowboys on top of it. We cleaned up on that Cowboys game against the Bucks on Monday night. So let's get into it. Chiefs minus 8.5 against the Jags, a total 52.5. I told you to start the show how I'm betting this game. My official pick is going to be first half spread minus 5.5 for Kansas City against Jacksonville. Jacksonville struggles in the first half. Much better second half team. That was before last week's comeback against the Chargers as well. The score prediction for the game as well. I do think Jacksonville, if you can get it at 8.5, can cover that 9. It's a push. Sean Barber had me write it up on the board. 33-24 is my score prediction for the game. So I like the over 52.5 points as well. How about Philadelphia minus 7.5 against the Giants? The total 48.5. A trend here for me, I'm going to continue to go early in these games when the Giants and Eagles play each other. Take a look at how the New York Giants have fared in the first quarter. They're 28th in first quarter defensive DVOA, 24th in first quarter points allowed on the season. So, yeah, I like Philadelphia minus 2.5 in the first quarter. Yeah, it's a first quarter bet. That's how I'm going to be attacking it as well. If you can still find Philly at minus 7 instead of 7.5, I like Philly minus 7. I think both number one seeds win pretty comfortably this weekend. Now time to attack the underdogs, the final two NFL games. I love Cincy plus 5.5 at Buffalo, the total 48.5. This number keeps going up. It was 4, now it's 5.5. I don't think we're going to see a 6. I don't get it. I understand the offensive line injury for Cincinnati, but Joe Burrow has been able to maneuver around poor offensive line play the last two postseasons. Nobody's been better, really, of avoiding pressure in the pocket. We've seen it firsthand when the Chiefs have tried to bring him down. I love Cincinnati getting 5.5 on the road. Like, it wouldn't surprise me if they win this game outright, but if I'm going to get 5.5 points in a game where Carl Cheffers is the official, you might be saying, well, he's going to be hoping the Bills win. Games in which he officiates 11 playoff games since 2010, the under is 10-1. Well, if you're going to have a game go under the total, it's much harder to win by a larger spread. Another reason why I like Cincinnati to cover the 5.5. And the last one, I'm going to keep riding with the Dallas Cowboys. I'm not going to call them my Dallas Cowboys. No way. No. But Dallas plus 3.5 at San Francisco, total 46.5. I think we finally see more than just a first half performance from Brock Purdy like we did last week. I think we will see it more throughout the game. He hasn't played a defense like this with fully healthy. I think Dallas can win this thing outright. I'll take the dog getting 3.5 on the road. So two favorites, two dogs, a couple first quarter and first half bets. Best of luck to everybody this divisional playoff weekend. Thanks to Julio Sanchez for producing the show. We're back at it next Thursday talking AFC, NFL, and NFC title game. Next.
That Betting Show with Alex Gold. Thursday starting at 7 p.m. on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.